1950 to 1988, dramatic increase. Preaching and teaching in Burmese. Up until the mid-1950s, the brothers in Burma preached almost entirely in English, the language spoken by educated people in the larger towns and cities. But millions more spoke only Burmese or Myanmar, Kayin, Kechin, Chin, or other local languages. How could they be reached with the good news? In 1934, Sidney Coote arranged for a Kayin schoolteacher to translate several booklets into Burmese and Kayin. Later, other publishers translated the book Let God Be True and several booklets into Burmese. Then, in 1950, Robert Kirk invited Ba U to translate study articles from the Watchtower into Burmese. The handwritten translations were typeset and printed by commercial printers in Yangon and then distributed to those who attended congregation meetings. Later, the branch office purchased a Burmese typewriter to speed up the translation process. Those early translators faced numerous challenges. I worked to support my family by day and then translated articles late into the night under a dim electric bulb, recalls Nega Pohan, who took over translation when Ba'u was no longer able to do it. My knowledge of English was very limited, so the resulting translation must have been quite inaccurate. But we desperately wanted our magazines to reach as many people as possible. When Robert Kirk asked Doris Raj to translate the Watchtower into Burmese, she was so overwhelmed that she broke down and cried. I had only a basic education and no translation experience, explains Doris. Yet Brother Kirk encouraged me to try. So I prayed to Jehovah and set to work. Today, nearly 50 years later, Doris still works as a translator at Yangon Bethel. Nega Pohan, now 93, is also at Bethel and is as enthusiastic as ever about advancing the kingdom work. In 1956, Nathan Knorr from World Headquarters visited Burma and announced the release of the Watchtower in Burmese. He also urged the missionaries to learn the language so that they could preach more effectively. Encouraged by his remarks, the missionaries intensified their efforts to learn Burmese. The following year, Frederick Franz, another visitor from World Headquarters, was the keynote speaker at a five-day assembly held at the Yangon Railway Institute Hall. He encouraged the brothers to expand the preaching work yet further by sending out pioneers into regional cities and towns. The first area to benefit from the new pioneers was Burma's former capital and second-largest city, Mandalay. Fruitage in Mandalay. Early in 1957, six new special pioneers arrived in Mandalay, joining newlywed missionary Robert Richards and his Kayin wife Baby, who were already there. The pioneers found the city to be a challenging territory. Mandalay is a major center of Buddhism and home to about half of Burma's Buddhist monks. Still, the pioneers realized that, as in ancient Corinth, Jehovah had many people in this city. Acts 18:10. One such person was Robin Zauja, a 21-year-old Kechen student, who recalls, "Early one morning, Robert and Baby Richards called at my home and introduced themselves as Jehovah's Witnesses. They said that they were declaring the good news from house to house in line with Jesus' command to preach. They presented their message and gave me their address, along with several magazines and books. I picked up one of the books that evening and read all night until I had finished it by sunrise. That same day, I went to Robert's home and plied him with questions for several hours. He answered every question from the Bible." Robin Zauja soon became the first Kechen to accept the truth. Later, he served for years as a special pioneer in northern Burma, helping nearly 100 people learn the truth. Two of his children now serve at Yangon Bethel. Another zealous disciple was Pramila Gelura, a 17-year-old girl who had recently learned the truth in Yangon. "My father, a member of the Jain religion, was bitterly opposed to my newfound faith, says Pramila. He twice burned my Bible and Bible literature, and several times he beat me in public. He also locked me up at home to stop me from attending Christian meetings, and he even threatened to burn down Brother Richard's house. But when he saw that he could not break my faith, he slowly stopped opposing me. Leaving her university studies, Pramila became a zealous pioneer and later married Circuit Overseer Denston O'Neill. Since then, she has helped 45 people into the truth. While the work moved ahead in Mandalay, the branch office also dispatched missionaries or pioneers to other regional centers, including Pathain or Bassine, Kelemyo, Bema, Mietjina, Molamien, and Mie or Merkwi. Jehovah clearly blessed the work, as each of these towns developed strong congregations. Missionaries expelled. As the preaching work continued to expand, rising political and ethnic tensions slowly pushed the country toward the breaking point. Finally, in March 1962, the army took over the government. Hundreds of thousands of Indians and Anglo-Indians were deported to India and Bangladesh, then East Pakistan, and visiting foreigners could obtain 24-hour visas only. Burma was shutting its doors to the outside world. The brothers watched these developments with growing unease. The military government guaranteed freedom of worship, but only if religions kept out of politics. True to form, Christendom's missionaries continued to meddle in political affairs. Finally, by May 1966, the government had had enough. It ordered all foreign missionaries to leave the country. Witness missionaries had been scrupulously non-political, yet they too were soon deported. The local brothers were shocked, but not disheartened. They knew that Jehovah God was with them. Still, some brothers wondered how the kingdom work would continue. Jehovah's guiding hand soon became evident. Morris Raj, a former circuit overseer who had received some training at the branch, was quickly appointed to look after the branch office. An ethnic Indian, Morris had not been deported with the Indian population. "Several years earlier, I had applied for Burmese citizenship," he explains. "But I lacked the 450 chats needed to pay for my citizenship book, so I put the matter off." The footnote reads, "equivalent at the time to about $95, a sizable sum." End of footnote. Then, one day, while I was passing the office of the company that had employed me years earlier, my former boss saw me. He cried out, "Hey, Raj, come and get your money. You forgot to collect your Provident Fund when you left." It amounted to 450 chats. As I left the office, I thought of all the things I could do with 450 chats. But since it was exactly the amount needed to get my citizenship book, I felt that it was Jehovah's will that I use it for that purpose. And that choice proved to be most beneficial. While other Indians were expelled from Burma, I could remain in the country, travel freely, import literature, and carry out other duties vital to our preaching work, all because I was a Burmese citizen. Along with Denston O'Neill, Morris set out on a nationwide tour to encourage each congregation and isolated group. We told the brothers, "Don't worry, Jehovah is with us. If we are loyal to him, he will help us," says Morris. And Jehovah did help us. Soon, many new special pioneers were appointed, and the preaching work expanded even more rapidly. Today, some 46 years later, Morris, a member of the branch committee, still travels throughout Myanmar to strengthen the congregations. Like elderly Caleb in ancient Israel, his zeal for God's work remains undiminished.